We are B and Aileen, and we will be discussing Fahrenheit 451, Part 1.
Okay, so one of my questions that I had to prompt discussion was, do you think that Beatty, or however you say his name, I don't really know. Do you think that Beatty knew all along that Montauk had something to hide? And I'm going to use one of my quotes that I have to back up my answer, because I think that he did know that Montauk had something to hide, and this is shown on page 25, and it says, "Why? You got a guilty conscience about something?" Montauk glanced up swiftly. Beatty stood there looking at him steadily with his eyes while his mouth opened and began to laugh very softly. So I think that this quote shows that, well, this is when the mechanical hound had just growled at Montauk, and I think that this shows that Beatty may have programmed it to, like, growl at him or something like that, like if they had just been discussing. And I think that Montauk was trying to scare him to let him know that he knew that something was up with him. What do you think?
So I agree with you. I do think that Beatty knows that Montauk does have books, and I think it's just because, like, Beatty has been doing it for so long, I think he knows that every person kind of has, like, that mm-hmm. moment where they're like, wait, what do these books really hold? Because they're yeah. around books so often. And then going with what you said about the hound, I think that the hound can, like, this sounds weird, but I think the hound can, like, smell the books on him or something. And I think that's just how the hound knows that he's guilty.
Yeah, so I think that that really makes sense, but do you think that Beatty was the one who actually programmed the hound? Like, do you think he's capable of doing that? And do you think that maybe he has maybe actually had it hurt people in the past? Do you think that he would be capable of doing that?
I think that Beatty is a pretty ruthless person, so I wouldn't put it past him to do that. Even if he, like, didn't know for sure, he might do it just as, like, a warning. And I think that Beatty, it's been shown that he doesn't care about other people and he only cares about burning the books. So I think that he would use it to hurt people if it meant getting his job done, because I think that's just the type of person that he is.
So do you think that getting his job done is what made him want to not go back and get that lady, as we heard later in the chapter? Like, the woman wanted to literally die with her books because she didn't want to leave them. So do you think that that was why he did that?
Yeah, I do. I think that he's just seen so many things because he's been the chief for a while. I think that he just doesn't have any emotion anymore and he doesn't feel anything. And so then I have a question about, like, how we're talking about, like, tossing aside books.
Yeah.
I said, do you think that in our society today we are already tossing aside books?
I really do think so, because we already have, like they're discussing in the book, like, we have shortened versions of books. Like, you could literally look up summary of this chapter.
Like spark notes.
Yeah, for sure. And that's kind of what they're talking about in this book, and that is what led to basically the burning of books. I don't think that we are at that point yet, but I would definitely say that in our world, in our society, we're definitely drifting away from books and what they have to offer. So do you think that you would ever drift away from books, or would you always think that they hold some sort of importance?
So definitely for myself, I definitely do like reading a lot, and I just think that I like reading mostly because it helps you to, like, explore so many different topics, but I feel like that, like, when people get older, they start to drift away from them, and, like, I hope that doesn't happen to me, but, like, I feel like it might be harder since we have lots of homework now.
So do you think that that reason of books have so much to offer, is that what maybe made Montauk think that, oh, maybe they could give me some kind of an escape? Like you said, it's something that you do for fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's maybe something where he's looking for a way out of this society where he maybe doesn't feel like he can be his true self. I don't really know. What do you think?
So I think that, like, a lot of the time people, when they're told not to do something, it makes them want to do it more because it's, like, this forbidden thing. And I think that Montauk, it's just, like, irresistible to him because he's mm-hmm. been around books so long, but he doesn't really know why they're important or what's so wrong with them. And I think that he really just wants to know why society is taking them away from him. And so then I had a question for you. So regarding Beatty again, he gave this whole monologue about the society, and it was really long. And so he talks about how that, like, sports are more important than education, and I was wondering, do you see that in our society today? Like, do you ever see people putting sports above school?
I feel that those who are really talented when it comes to sports, yes, they tend to put sports above school because it could lead to them getting a better future or better education that wouldn't have been offered to them had they
not been as talented as they were. And I feel that even if you're really good at sports, you shouldn't be tossing aside education. But like you said, it really can happen, but it's not as prominent as it is in this book. I feel like a lot of the times, yes, education might not be as important to some people, but I feel like it's still of very large importance in our society.
So do you think that do you think that Clarice not going to school, was that what made her seem like a threat? Like, she was kind of going against all of what people were expecting of her, and people in their society were expecting that everyone goes to school and learns the same things that aren't really learning. Is that maybe one thing that prompted, like, the government or those that took her or something, wherever she went, is that what made them think that she was a threat?
So I think that not going to school, I think that just made her, like, different than everybody else, and it made her kind of odd. But I think the thing that made her most of the threat was that her uncle,
mm-hmm.
and her uncle, it was said that he's really outside of the box, and he tries to do the things that they're not supposed to, and he tries to go against the norms. And I think that's just one of the things that made her a threat, because it rubbed off. And then going along with Clarice, in the end of part one, it kind of says that she died. And do you really think she is dead? And if so, how do you think she died? Like, do you think that she really got hit by a car?
I actually really don't think she got hit by a car. I feel like that was some kind of cover-up, because I actually have some quote about this somewhere. Let me just try and find it. So right here, it was her realization. Let me just read this. It was on page 28. No, not anything. They name a lot of cars or clothes or swimming pools, and mostly how swell, but they say the same things, and nobody says different from anyone else. And they, most of the time in the cafes, they have the jukeboxes on and the same jokes most of the time. So basically she's saying that no one really talks about anything in the real world, because she has noticed that no one is having any real realizations, and because she doesn't go to school, she has the opportunity to figure these things out.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this was the realization that maybe made the government kind of upset. I don't know if they, like, listen to her or something, or keep tabs on her. But I feel like this realization that everyone needs to be different and not the exact same, and that everyone shouldn't just be happy and they should have real opinions, I think that this was really what maybe was the tipping point for anyone who may have thought that she was a threat. So what do you think?
And then I think another thing, like, I think that the government did take Clarice, but I think they might have taken her as leverage against her uncle, because
mm-hmm.
her uncle is, like, Clarice talks about how her uncle is, like, a big rebel, and he tries to do anything to go against what the government thinks,
mm-hmm.
or the society, and I think that Clarice, she sort of rubbed off on him, and I think that's another reason why Clarice couldn't go to school, because I think she would try to spread, like, what she thought, and that she thought that the government was lying and stuff like that, and so I think that's why she had to be taken out of school. But I just think that, like, the government took Clarice so that they would have leverage on her uncle.
So I also feel like the fact that the government probably took Clarice was one of the things that sparked Montag to want to rebel. Because in that conversation that he had with Mildred, it was like Mildred didn't care that Clarice wasn't here anymore and that she had been hit by a car, supposedly. And I feel that her not caring and everyone not even caring that a person had died was maybe what ticked him off so much that he wanted to rebel. And that was one of the factors, not the main one. But what were some of the other factors that you think went into him wanting to rebel?
I think that mainly he just, like, needed to figure out why books were so, like, important and why they were being taken from them.
Yeah.
And I do think that Clarice kind of influenced him. And I think that, like, Beattie talked about this on page 58. He's talking about Clarice. He said, "Luckily, queer ones like her don't happen often. We know how to nip most of them in the bud early. You can't put a house without nails and wood. If you don't want a house built, hide the nails in the wood. If you don't want a man unhappy politically, don't give him two sides to a question to worry him. Give him one. Better yet, give him none." So I think that this kind of supports, like, why Montag wants to, like, be different, and why he wants to, like, figure out why books are so important, because it shows that, like, nobody's different in this society.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no innovators or creators. Everybody is just the same, and they kind of mindlessly follow what the government says and what the government tells them. And I think that that just shows why Clarice wanted to influence other people to be different, and I think that's what led to Montag taking the books.
And then a connection to that would be that Clarice was kind of Montag's role model, in that even though she's younger than him, she has realized so much more than he has, and she has realized that, you know, everyone in the society is the exact same, and everyone is just following, like, this cookie cutter how you should be in the society. And this one person that really wasn't a cookie cutter, and like everyone thinks that she's queer for thinking that she's for having a different opinion, and this one person that he knew that wasn't the exact same as everyone else was taken away, and I feel like that probably got him angry, because she was his role model in a way that she was showing him that he didn't have to be the exact same as everyone else.
And then what you were saying about, like, the cookie cutter society, I think that kind of reflects on, like, our lives sometimes, because I feel like sometimes people try to fit into, like, the mold of what everybody thinks you should be. And I think that a lot at school we find that people, like, they don't want to be different, and they don't want to express themselves in a way that makes them weird. Or like,
especially at this age.
Yeah, because I think we're just in, like, the time when people are like, oh, I should be like this person, or I should look like them. And I think that's a lot why people, like, try to change themselves, or they try to act differently.
So to kind of, like, shift conversation, do you think that Mildred should be trusted to rebel with Montag, or do you think that she's gonna pose some problems in the future of the plot?
I think that if Clarice is alive, that I think she would try to, like, encourage Montag to take more books for herself, but I don't know if she'd really be, like, open to helping Montag, because I feel like she thinks that Montag is too a firefighter. Like, he, like, isn't what she would want in a partner.
And then his wife, do you think that she would be a good partner?
Oh.
Because she now knows that he has all these books, and remember, he had to slap her out of it, which is probably not the best way to solve the problem, but he had to slap her out of her frenzy in order to stop her from, like, burning all the books and causing a frenzy. So what do you think about that?
So I think that definitely Mildred, I think she's probably going to leave him, because I think that she's too set in her ways that she won't be able to adjust to him. Yeah. And then a question about Mildred for you. So when it said that neither of them could remember how they met, why do you think that is?
I feel like it's because in this society, you're not really looking for love, you're more just looking for a partner. I feel like in this society, it would be more pressure to get married just because people should get married. And as you can see, they definitely don't love each other. In the text, they don't show any love towards each other whatsoever. And I feel like that's really why they can't remember it, because they never loved each other in the first place.
Yeah. So another thing about this book is that it's set in either 2024 and 2026. And it was written in the 1900s, the mid-1900s.
Yeah, like 1950s, right?
Yeah. And so it's set in a time period that's, like, really close to now, but back then it was the future. And so how do you think, like, there are similarities and differences between what Ray Bradbury thought that the future is going to be like and how it actually is?
So the similarities and differences, there are definitely a lot of similarities. People are not necessarily open-minded. They're not open to new ideas, and I feel like that's a lot of the way that it is in our society today. And then I also feel like some differences are people still really respect books. I mean, some people do and some people don't, but we're not necessarily close to necessarily completely phasing out books completely, because you still see libraries, you still see in every school, you want to be able, teachers are encouraging us to read, and that's for a reason, because reading is going to be better than just looking at maybe tabloids on your phone. And even if you can read books on your phone, they wouldn't have been there in the first place had we not actually had books in the beginning.
And then another thing that I thought was similar is that in the book it talks a lot about going faster and, like, the cars that they go hundreds of miles an hour. And I think that reflects on our society today, because I think everybody's always about going faster, making new inventions, like, being able to go over the speed limit or being able to advance.
So basically speeding your own life ahead of what it's ready for. Yeah.
So
kind of, yeah.
Yeah.